Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Man, I got my time.
Hello. It's been a little while since we did a podcast, huh?
Too long.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes you got to take a break when somebody's moving across the country, or at least not across, states. But moving down, right?
Moving Josiah south. Was across the country. I was a couple of states.
Either way, you both found the sunshine, so good for you.
Yes. Yeah. No more cold, no more snow.
Yeah, we're going out now and busting out the ice out of the chicken coop and stuff. So.
Are you ready? Already?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, man, I'm ready for the cold. For some reason, I guess I don't have the same genetics as you do or something like that, because I'm kind of ready for the cold season. We need some rain, man. So
you can have it.
Yeah.
When I want it, I'll come visit you, or I'll just drive up to Flagstaff. Prescott.
Yeah, there you go. Jeez. I ought to come out there and go hunting sometime. You guys got some big old bull elk out there.
Yeah. One of the church members just texted me. He went elk hunting, but no luck.
Yeah. I only got to go one day this year, man. What a waste of so much money. Such a waste. Anyway, so let's get into this, because we're going to do things a little bit different today. A little bit different than we're used to. First, we'll pray. Mike, you want to start us, or you want to finish us?
I don't know. Let's pray.
Yeah.
Lord, you tell us in your word that when two or more gathered in your name, that you are in the midst. And though Adam and I are doing this via video, Lord, our hearts are in a place where we want to hear from you and minister, Lord, to others. And Lord, though Josiah and Steve are unable to join us, Lord, I know they're praying and they're with us, Lord. Be with them as well. Keep them safe. Lord, we ask that you would pour out your spirit upon us, Lord God. We ask that you would speak to Adam, speak to me, Lord. And those that might be watching this and listening to this at a later time, Lord, may they gain nuggets of truth, especially those that don't believe on you, God. Will you plant a seed in their hearts? That those that wear the badge, Lord, they're in a career where one minute they're alive, the next minute they're in dire straits and they could die. And so, Lord, we ask that, Lord, there's that assurity of salvation in their hearts. So just ask for your blessing and an outpouring of your spirit upon this podcast, Lord God. It's in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, so those of you who are not watching this, like I said, we're going to do a little bit different. Before I get into that portion, though, Michael, I do expect you to do a little bit of singing, okay? Because I did watch your message yesterday that you shared there at the new church, and I heard some singing every now and then. Just some.
It soon was, and very soon. Right? There you go.
All right. Good start. All right. So let's get into this. Today we are going to show a video clip. Just over a minute, I think, is what it was. I already watched it once to make sure. And then this one in particular, not that anybody probably cares, but they edited out the coarse language. And the one that we're going to show is not the most graphic one. Okay, this is a shooting that happened last month in Houston with Houston PD, some plainclothes officers that obviously are wearing some ballistic vests. But I don't have the background, because a lot of times, you know, when we watch these things, we don't have the entire story, just only what media wants to show us. But the point of what the point of showing this video is a couple things. Number one, yeah, we will talk real shortly about some tactics. Okay. And it's not about Monday morning quarterbacking these officers. They, from what I see, they all seem like pretty experienced officers. Okay. And I'm sure that they did their homework. They probably knew the background of this suspect before they went up to the door. But we want to talk about a little bit about tactics. We want to talk about, you know, justification to use deadly force, because that question has come up in the past. You know, is there biblical justification for the use of deadly force? You know, we are New Testament believers, but that doesn't mean that the Old Testament is null and void. In fact, it confirms the Old Testament, right? Jesus came to fulfill the law. So, you know, if you get back into the Old Testament, you're going to see a whole lot of death and a whole lot of, I will say, I don't know if approved is the right word or not, but maybe God directed death, you know? And I kind of look at it this way. If somebody is attacking my kids and their intent is evil, it's up to me to defend those kids, right? And the God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament. I believe that his mindset's the same as it was. So anyway, Mike, should we watch this thing?
Let's do it.
And for those who are listening, maybe we'll try to describe it a little bit.
And those of you that are listening, just think of Fatal Funnel.
Yeah, exactly. Houston police, let's do this thing. And we're gonna see a reload here. So at this point, the officer that was at the right side of the front door, he's hit, he's down. I like the communication from this officer here because it's pretty calm. Hey, get some cover. Okay, that's about it. I mean, this is just one perspective. On the other video I watched, which was a lot longer, they showed a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different body cameras, and this is probably the cleanest one. So at the beginning here, you see him at the door, right? The guy that is in the house apparently has some arrest warrants, and I don't remember what they were for. But so you've got these Houston cops there, and initially they make contact with a woman who apparently lives in there. And I believe she confirmed that, yeah, he's in there. They ask her about guns, and she said, oh, I don't know. And so...
Of course she doesn't.
Yeah. So here you can see this guy. I mean, he's standing right in front of the door. And maybe he let his guard down a little bit because there was a female that had already come out or something like that. You know, and so I can kind of see that. And then when we get a little further on here, you hear the automatic gunfire. Apparently this guy had a modified trigger that allowed for automatic gunfire. I'm not going to have the, you know, the gun debate on here, but, you know, regardless of whether they're legal or not, if it's a criminal, do they really care whether it's legal or not? So apparently, obviously this guy didn't, because an automatic weapon is not legal to have.
Do this thing.
See, so yeah, they were right in front of the door there, and the guy on the right, he does get hit, and unfortunately he dies as a result of that. But so we look for, you know, biblically, do we have the authority to enforce the law? Do we have the authority, you know, the God-given authority to use deadly force? Well, that's a good question. That automatic fire, he's getting out of the way, which is good. Everybody's looking for some hardcover. So this is one thing that I wish everybody would I don't know, maybe this is a little harsh, but get with the times, because you know what, we have spike mics, you know, we have, I wear a Bluetooth earpiece. I don't have all the extra wiring, and it goes right into my ear. So I'm not fumbling with my left hand, you know, if I'm in a situation like this, pulling a radio out and trying to hold it up to my face in order to get traffic out, right? It's right there on my chest. And plus the reason for the earpiece is so if somebody is, you know, wanted or something like that, it's not going to be blaring over my radio, putting them on guard. He's hugging his cover here. If you're watching this, I know it's a high stress situation. If you can, you know, deal with that thought process. Don't hug your cover like that, because it severely limits what you can see and what you can do. And as you can see, is when he goes to the left side of this pillar here, he actually has to bring his pistol, you know, bring his pistol up, go across, and it limited his visibility there. No reason to hug it like that. Hey, get the cover. He does his mag exchange here. And he actually jacks out around. But high stress, right? So whatever.
Get the cover.
What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, like you said, you know, I think doing the whole Monday morning quarterback. Well, let me be blunt. These things happen all the time. And, you know, there is that constructive criticism. And I think that's what we're doing, you know.
Yeah. And I have heard actually that if you, and I think this is true, if you actually run through these scenarios in your mind as you have free time, it will actually train your brain
mm-hmm.
in a way that when you actually encounter a situation like this, you'll have it's almost like having real world experience, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you're actually training your brain to respond accordingly. So,
well, you know, it's like any athlete, you know, Michael Jordan or Michael Phelps or whoever those guys, you know, Michael Justin that did track, you know, these guys visualize their race. They visualize, you know, an MMA fight. They visualize, you know. And so having said that, I think there are some definite, in a high stress situation, there are some things that they could have done a little better. You know, this is Houston PD, you know, why they're going
lacking in experience, right?
That or, you know, or equipment. I mean, they should have, you know, even a, you know, attachment to the mic that's on your chest or on your shoulder,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I use the earpiece because that way the enemy doesn't know where I'm at, you know, it kind of gives away your location. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I like you. I didn't like the fact, I mean, it's a high stress situation. He chose a pillar. He got eyes on his partner across the way. I think one at behind the car, which was good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you limited yourself in a view the view.
Yeah.
You know, because he was from at the side. I don't know who was saying, get Bill, get Bill. You know, at the time, it's like, cool, we got to take out the enemy first.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get shot at, you know.
Which brings up actually another point. You know, if you're not carrying a med kit on yourself, on your person that you can access real fast. I mean, you worked for a fire department, so you know exactly what you need, right? Mm-hmm. And most agencies are offering that kind of thing now. And if you work for an agency that doesn't, then, you know, that's something you're going to have to get on your own. You know, a quick clot, what do you call them, Mike? You know,
the bandage, the tourniquet.
Tourniquet. There you go. Yeah. Get yourself a tourniquet. You know, a lot of guys wear the ankle rigs, mm-hmm. They have that stuff ready to go, or you put it on your chest. You know, I've got them all over my car, and then practice with them because, you know, get Bill. Yeah. Bill needs medical attention for sure. But depending on where Bill was hit. Now I don't know the particulars, but you know, I know he unfortunately passed away as a result of this, but you know, we're letting him die in vain if we don't learn something from this. And so, Mike.
I think that the thing too is, I mean, did the cops know if he was breathing or alive? You know, obviously we weren't there. We can't hear the gasping or the whispers, you know.
I mean, well, if you want to watch another video, they do play his body cam, but I didn't.
Yeah, I watched some of the body cam. I didn't watch Bill's body cam.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I watched that video a few times and, you know, made me think they had what, three guys walk up to the door, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Of course, it's just a thought in my head, you know, could someone would have benefited it with a rifle nearby?
Yeah.
You know, where if at the apex or the door's opening, you got a guy, it's like, okay, I'm going to knock with a flashlight, not with a gun, or, you know, to give yourself that little bit more distance. You know, I mean, obviously we found out that he's got an automatic gun. So either way, but yeah. Like, at least if you're situated, you know, there's all the different formations that you practice, right? The staggered and, you know, all that arrow, whatever, all that stuff. But in the height of the moment, you're going to serve a warrant. If you know that this guy's a bad dude, could it have been good to have one guy with an AR, mm-hmm. you know, just right there, you know, right, maybe on the right side. I'm not sure the angle. And then another guy just ready to unload, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different angles that you could have covered. I mean, long cover is a good point. I didn't even think about that when I watched this initially, but I mean, you had one guy, you know, grabbing a car for cover. Cars are awesome cover. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've ever seen somebody shoot at a car through a windshield, dude, they provide amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're absolutely right. There could have been somebody at that car with a rifle. But
yeah. Well, and then with the technology that we have, you know, you know, in the fire service, we have, you always take a heat gun with you to find your where your hottest source is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, flare.
You know, you could always get a flare, and you know, the girl's probably lying. Oh, does he have weapons? Oh, I don't know.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
You know, so you figured, let's go see who's in here. You know, it looks like it was an apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Got to think of that. And then I think there was a body cam footage from the officer that's on the backside.
Oh, okay.
You know, and even just having them prepare, like, hey, try to see if you can get eyes through the window before we knock.
Yeah.
You know, do your reconnaissance work. So obviously, in hindsight, we could talk about a lot of stuff. There's some things that, you know, there are some good things I think they did. That one guy was very calm,
mm-hmm.
Lost around, like you said, in the magazine change.
Yeah. And maybe needs, I don't know how much training they get on firearms, you know, but I mean, it was something as simple as, you know, the way he jacked the slide using his thumb and forefinger versus, you know,
Yeah.
So I mean, we won't, we won't jack with these guys too much because overall, I think they actually did.
Yeah, I think they had
well after shots were fired, you know.
Yeah, they did a good job. Unfortunate that Bill lost his life. Hopefully he knew the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the question that you asked earlier, somebody asked, or the question always gets, you know, is there a biblical justification for deadly use of force? Mm-hmm. I mean, the common answer is just like, what? Why are you even asking that question? Of course, yes.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the people that say, well, the God is God is of love. I'm like, wait. You know, God is the God of the Old Testament too. You know, when he told the Israelites to literally wipe away the Amalekites, right? He didn't say some, he didn't say a few, he said all. So in looking at that, it's kind of like that. God gives us mandates and governments, and we kind of have that, you know, obligation to, you know, be under those leaders or those governors, you know. I know some pastors, I'll leave them unnamed, who, you know, is going woke, and should, you know, and I think he even said it, like, if someone broke into his house, you know, he wouldn't do anything about it. You know, I'm like, no. You know, if someone broke into my house, rounds are going to be emptied out of my gun to protect my wife and my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, we have that right here in the United States, right? Look at our Aussies down under.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a whole nother podcast, probably a whole nother subject that we could probably do next time is.
Yeah, you know, we'll bring in some more of that footage and say.
You know, like if you're a cop in another country, you know, and I think United States sets the standard on policing, you know, because I think the world looks to United States for policies and procedures. Versus, you know, whereas our liberal politicians look to other countries that have taken away gun rights, you know, and but like you said, criminals don't care about gun rights.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get guns one way or another.
Yeah.
You know, and a citizenry that's not armed is open game to the criminals, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you get rid of legal firearms, the cartel's going to have a heyday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, illegally. So.
So having said that, like in my new area here in Colorado, I mean, not Colorado, Arizona.
Oh, no.
Brain fart. You know, the one thing about Arizona is open, you know, constitutional carry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm seeing some of these videos. I don't know if you saw it not that long ago here. Near Phoenix proper. I don't know if it was Glendale or Peoria. And it shows a video of these guys in beanies, face mask, wanting to break into this place. And the suspect sees the Ring camera, covers it, but then he's trying to break in. So he takes his hands off again. And it's beautiful because as they're trying to, two guys are trying to break into the door, you just see rounds coming out. Pop, 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 you know, and I think a couple of them got hit and they ran away.
Mm.
Just the other day, there's a new app called Nextdoor. I didn't even know what this was. You know, Nextdoor is like this neighborhood app.
Oh.
It's kind of like a mini Facebook for your neighborhood.
Okay.
And so I got it and this guy shared, he goes, look out for these, you know, expletive words. I guess it's a new TikTok thing where they're blasting music and they try to donkey kick your door open.
Oh, sweet.
You know, I'm like, okay. I mean, when I grew up as a kid, they didn't have home camera systems if you did your ultra rich.
Yeah.
But like, okay, I understand if you're going to toilet paper someone's house. Ah, ha, ha. Cool. You know, egg in someone's house, that's a little mean, but okay. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, with the crime the way it is, And with guys trying to break in a house and burglarize people, it's like these teenage kids that are doing this TikTok challenge. You come to my house, you're probably going to get shot and I'm going to have to buy a new door, you know, and I might have to perform your funeral. I don't know, but
yeah,
but then you can't do that in Australia. You can't do that in Canada and some of these so-called free countries, you know, and do we as believers, in uniform have a biblical right to use deadly force? Or a constitution, state's constitution in our work, our cities and counties, that the departments that we work for, give us that right. So is it a biblical right? Yes. Because the Bible says that we need to be subject to the leaders and rulers of the government, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're an officer and you're struggling with that and you're wondering, I can't take someone else's life, you need to quit right now. That's my encouragement to you. If you're a deputy, officer, trooper, whatever, you hold a badge and you have this question in your heart, do I have the legal right, the biblical right to use deadly force? And you're questioning that, you need to get out of your work.
Yeah. And if you're going to question your ability to do so.
Yeah.
You know, if you think that you're going to get to that point, then maybe there's going to be some sort of hesitancy.
Yeah.
Hesitancy is going to get somebody killed.
Yeah.
It may be even yourself. So that's a good point, Mike. I mean, I have worked with people who, you know, thankfully we kind of figured that out before they got to the point of deadly physical force. Maybe it was like, you know, I didn't tase when they should have or something else like that. They would freeze and we would handle that before, you know, before they got to that point. But yeah, if there's no shame, if you're not fit for that, it just means that God has a different purpose for you, you know,
yes.
But other people's lives may depend on that.
So. Yeah. And you know, cause remember is it Chicago or Detroit where there's two officers? I don't know. And then there was a shooting that took place right in front of their patrol car.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. And they drove
there. Right?
Yeah.
And they're like, didn't see it, you know?
Yeah.
They need to get out, you know? Yeah. You know, it's like that classic saying, I think in any business, especially in the church, I'd rather have, like Jesus, he chose 12 minus one disciples that's going to give up everything to follow him versus having hundreds and thousands.
Yeah. Right? And he chose the ones that he actually had to reel in a little bit, right? I mean,
yeah.
Sons of thunder, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, I know plenty of cops, and I know you know some too firsthand, that have been in, you know, officer involved shooting, you know, and some of the bullet casings had John 3:16 on them, and just like, hey, hope you knew Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, because the way I kind of look at it, if you as a human being, and I'm talking about criminals here. If you as a human being, as a criminal, are willing to take out another human being and you have no ill will, okay, then there's no ill remorse on the part of any officers that was in an officer-involved shooting that takes out that life. Because I think it's justified, you know, and let me put my pastor hat on. Have I talked with members that have been involved shootings and taken out a life? Yes, I have. Do they have, you know, mental, emotional struggles? Yes. And the only way I know that these members have overcome them is through the word of God, you know, and really embracing on how to serve other people and serve other members. And, you know, is it hard for them to realize I just took out, you know, a human life? Yeah. I go, but so did many other countless people in the Bible that God commanded them to take out. Now, it's one thing to defend, you know, someone else's life and you take out another. Imagine being told by God, hey, I want you to wipe out all the Amalekites. Not some, not a few, every single one, right? And that's like, God, that means I have to, right?
Yeah.
And I think we have to sometimes realize we have to put our emotions aside because our emotions are very deceitful. We have to put our emotions aside and focus on the call and focus on the command that God has given, you know? And, you know, there's that picture of that officer. My buddy Mike Williams would know, but it's an officer of this, you know, pretty buff old dude. He kneels down before his patrol car and he's praying, you know? And you got into this line of work because either God called you and you love it, you know, and you're a soldier for God. And, you know, of course we can Monday quarterback that whole video and all that other stuff, but people that are asking, well, is deadly force justified? You know, I guarantee you criminals are not asking that question.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, the criminal's like, hey, Adam, is it okay if I shoot a trooper? No. You know, these guys don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so anyways, exactly. I'm done with my rant.
No, it's good. You reminded me of one of the questions a long time ago when I interviewed for SWAT was, you know, they gave a scenario. You know, you have a suspect in your crosshairs. If your lieutenant tells you basically, you know, the commander, if the SWAT commander tells you, you know, green light, you need to pull the trigger and you only have limited information, are you going to, will you pull the trigger? And, the answer should be yes, because you don't need to have every ounce of information. You need to be able to trust that your commander has all that information. Right. And so it's no different with biblically, right? You have these guys in the Old Testament, the Joshuas, the anyways, I'm forgetting his name. You know, these warriors of the Old Testament that God says, go and wipe out this nation. Well, they don't have all the background. They're just going to go and do what they're told because they are going to trust that God knows all that information. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that today we've had history buffs that have done the research and found out that a lot of these nations were awful, you know, human sacrifice, even cannibalism and all that kind of junk. And so God was showing mercy to those who were victims of that stuff. And we don't necessarily get that whole story today. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, sometimes we have a tendency to judge the Bible instead of allowing the Bible to judge us. And, anyway, let's talk about where our authority to mete out justice or to serve justice biblically comes from. One of the verses I have here, it says Psalm 82, verse 3. Starting there, and we'll go through verse 4, I think. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. I think the Message or whatever translation says, defend the defenseless. And that's essentially what the psalmist is saying here. Asaph is his name. Defend the defenseless. So we see that biblically. Let's see. I had another one marked here. Psalm 106, verse 3. Blessed are those who keep justice. And he does righteous, and he who does righteousness at all times. Can't read good. And then we can go along to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, a very well-known chapter in the Bible. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. This is verse 1. A time to be born, verse 2, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted. Verse 3, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. And then we can even go down here to verse 8, and it says a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. That's Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote that one. And how about Isaiah 61, verse 8 says, and this is quoting God, it says, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant." God loves justice. God is justice. And finally, I'll finish with the ending of a parable here told by Jesus. He says, "And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" I wish he wouldn't have said that part, because that's terrifying. But point is, God loves justice. And ultimately, Mike, I think you'll agree that we see God's ultimate justice at the cross, where he poured out his judgment that should have been poured out on his, well, on mankind, but instead, for his mercy's sake and his name's sake and for grace extended toward us, that justice was poured out on Christ. But we can see throughout the Bible that that those of us who have been given that authority by government, we also have that authority given to us by God to defend the defenseless. And so, yes, we do have a biblical backing, and even I would say a biblical command to be defending the defenseless. And part of that is arresting violent criminals.
And terrorists.
We will not negotiate with terrorists.
Well, although, you know, I better not say it. Let's not go there.
Too much of that.
Let's not go there. We're going to get banned on YouTube. Although, you know, you watch Dan Bongino, and he's constantly challenging YouTube. Take me down.
We don't have Dan Bongino numbers.
That's true.
We say, "That's okay." Down, and they click the button. Okay.
See ya. We'll just come back. We'll just come back up.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like a whack-a-mole, right?
Yeah.
We're gonna keep coming.
Yep. Guess we'll go to Rumble. I don't know.
Anyway. I don't know. There. Hopefully, someone that has got a lot of money could support someone like a brain that started YouTube. You know.
Yeah.
There was a Christian one, GodTube. I don't know what happened to that. But the thing is, like, these Christian platforms like GodTube, when I was on it, it was cheesy.
Yeah. Well, we have that problem, don't we?
You know, and I mean, thank God.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. Well, we talked about this yesterday. We had a Bible study at my house, and we talked about John chapter 2, where Jesus is flipping tables.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it we think that we need to be nice Christians and doing this whole I don't know, it ends up being so lame, like you're talking about GodTube, so lame. Like,
well, back in the day, and then t-shirts were so gay, Christian t-shirts, Christian movies. I mean, things have gotten better.
Yeah.
You know, I think also too, because there's this image of Christians of they need to be gentle and whatnot, you know. And like, I'm kind of grateful for CrossFit, like, especially RX. What is it? RX, whatever.
CrossFit. Faith RX or whatever.
Faith RX, yeah.
Yeah.
In some ways, I'm thankful for CrossFit because CrossFit has developed a community, right? But churches already had that. But CrossFit, I guess it kind of gave it balls, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you got Rich Roning, who's got Galatians 6:19 tatted all in his ribs.
Yeah.
And he's a beast. There's no doubt about it. That guy's an animal. You know,
yeah,
and I think
good ones. Yeah. Dan. What's Dan's last name?
Dan, the short little dude.
Yep. He's a believer. He does, like, every now and then he'll do a short
Dan Bailey.
Dan Bailey. There you go.
Yeah.
He's a believer and he'll, you know, he talks about his faith. I mean, you've got a lot of just yoked dudes.
Well, and then the thing is, I think there's a lot of Christians, they don't like that intensity. Mm-hmm. Like you think about it, CrossFit's intense. It's not hot yoga. Yeah. It's not your, you know, 24-hour fitness, LA fitness, you know.
Yeah.
You go in a, but then there's that community where they nurture you to work out properly, do proper lifts, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, they want you to throw down 21:15:9. Let's go.
Yeah. Maybe this is a good time for a shout out to our buddy Greg Amundsen, man. He another one, you know. I mean, Greg's he's a writer. He's a chaplain. He's former DEA agent. He's former what department was he with? He's in is he in San Diego? Yeah, so he was a county cop. He was on SWAT. I mean, he was an army cop.
I mean, so. And that's the thing is there's a lot of guys out there, pastors that are soft, so to speak.
Yeah.
They've never been in any type of public safety. They've never been in the military. And not that that's bad. Not that that's a bad thing. But there's this idea that I'm just going to use his name as an example. And if someone uses this as a way to throw me under the bus, I will come after you. Like Liam Neeson. I will come find you. But like Alistair Begg.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, he's more of a Calvinist. But Alistair Begg, he's got that nice accent. He teaches the Bible. But yeah, he's not going out there, hey, let's go to Afghanistan. Let's rescue Christians. You know, he's not. You know, but then you got guys like Victor Marx, who's an ex-Marine, right? He's calling out pastors for being sissies.
Yeah.
Some of it's pretty intense, you know. He's even called out, you know, 007. But I think there's that God tube things like where God, you know, Christians are like, oh, you know, and then the one thing I appreciate about the Christian CrossFitters is they know how to put faith and fitness together and they're gonna get it done.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about physical fitness that teaches you discipline and you can transfer that into anything, you know, the church workspace and, you know, work and whatnot. And you can, you know, apply that discipline, you know, to finish, to get it done.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not the other way around. If you think about it, you can't get sissified Christians and ask them to, hey, go do this WOD. They're like, what's a WOD? You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think in some ways it's good that there isn't a Christian multimedia platform. Because in all honesty, if there was one, they probably wouldn't like Thin Line Believers because we're going to talk about shootings and deaths. We're going to talk about ministry.
And we're supposed to infiltrate the world anyway.
Right? Yeah. And you know, they're going to be like, oh, they're talking about shooting. There was a video footage of someone dying. Oh, yeah. Someone dies every single day.
Yep.
You know, and so I just wish businesses like YouTube and Facebook and Instagram would just be that, not get into politics.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well,
anyways,
we are at war and the world needs warriors. I mean, we're at war. This is a spiritual war. It's no time to, there's no nice people in war, man.
I think you can close on this. Your favorite verse and one of my favorites. I think you have it tattooed on you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 144:4. Right? 144?
I don't
have my hands
tattooed on me. Not yet. Wait,
not yet? Oh, you're going to do it? Was it on a t-shirt? Whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, if David the psalmist, right? He's this worship leader, but yet he was a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. And I love it because I always remind people, a lot of Christians, I go, you do know David, who wrote a good portion of the Psalms, was a warrior, you know? And the men that were in distress, indebted, and discouraged all came to David, and they learned how to battle with their right hand and their left, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I talked to some Christians, I'm like, whoa, 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 time out. The Bible is telling me I need to go at it. But, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe we should talk about it another time, but, you know, there's that notion where, I don't know where it's coming from, but they're like, well, you know, if you don't take the, you know, the jab, it's not a very loving thing. You should take the loving, do the loving thing and take the jab, you know?
And I talked about that quite a bit in my, I had to write a letter.
Oh yeah.
You know, about, we talk about defending the defenseless and the stem cells and that went into this whole thing. And, you know, I don't want to get into that too much because
yeah,
I know there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of believers that, that went that route, and that's fine, especially if, you know, they're unaware of all the process, and that's fine. But, you know, the point is you talk about David is awesome because David is the same guy that wrote, I soak my bed with my tears. Mm. You know, the same guy that said, search my heart, Lord, to know if there's any wicked way in me. The same guy that acted like a crazy person to, you know, to not get arrested with drooling down his beard. This is the same dude that says God is a God of war. Yeah, or sorry, that's Moses. But he's the same guy that said, you know, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, we can be both, you know, we can be both a loving, I like how you talked about Victor Marx. I like how Victor talks about a kind person versus a nice person. You know, we don't need to be nice Christians. Yes, we do need to be kind Christians, but there's a difference, you know, and even what's his name? Jordan Peterson talks, and he's not really a Christian, right? But what he says is true, that we need to be monsters under control, you know? I don't know. What do you think, man?
Well, speaking of Victor Marx, man, we need to get him on the podcast.
Well, he'd probably like you better than me.
I'll try to message out to him.
Hey, I used to live in Colorado, bro.
No, I knew him through ministry in California, so hopefully he'll remember me.
I mean, how could he forget?
Right? Yeah. Well, I'm good, man.
Let's do it. All right. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together today. Father, we pray for Bill. I don't know Bill's last name. That was probably a lack of preparation on my part. But, Lord, you know Bill. I pray for him and his family, especially, that you would be with them during these difficult times. Lord, I hope that Bill was a believer, because if so, then he is at the foot of your throne right now, and that's an amazing place to be. Lord, please comfort his family. Give them a peace that surpasses understanding. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to see the video so that hopefully we can take something away from that. Lord, we thank you for the authority that you granted through your word, that you are a God of justice, and that ultimately, even if we're going through some unjust times, that ultimately you will give us justice.
Mm.
Thank you for the justice that was poured out on the cross that saves us from damnation, as we can never, ever repay that, Lord. We accept it as grace, as mercy, and as a gift that cost one heck of a price. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, hey, if you're on YouTube, you know, they always say like and subscribe. That that helps us reach a few more people, I think. And that's the goal, is to reach people personally, right? It's not to get a whole bunch of numbers, but the numbers that we have to hopefully help you build your faith. What do you think, Mike? Good to go? All right, guys. See you soon. In and out, Mark.